Chapter 8. Despite bad omens, the journey begins well.
Tut, 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 tut!
Good Fortune honked, and this meant hurry up. Big Tiger and Christian hurried. It was early morning, and still cold and dark. Good Fortune ran round the truck with a storm lantern. He counted the gasoline drums, the tins, cans, and oil bottles. After that, he pressed the tires with his thumb, and then honked again. Christian and Big Tiger came running with their things. They brought the briefcase, the long noodles, and the last bag of poppy cakes. But they had to go back twice for the 2 fur coats, 2 fur caps, 2 tarpaulins, and 2 sleeping bags, which the general had sent them by a soldier.
"You can't sit in front with me," said Good Fortune gruffly.
"We'll sit wherever our respected elder wishes," said Big Tiger.
"Come here," said Good Fortune, already sounding more friendly.
He helped them up on the truck. The platform was very high off the ground. In the center, there was just enough space for the 2 sleeping bags, which they spread out. Then they put on the fur coats and caps. The cans stood round like a fence, and behind their backs, against the driver's cab, iron drums were ranged. Standing on tiptoe, they could just see the top of Good Fortune's cap through a little window.
"Are you ready now, or is there something else we need?"
asked Good Fortune.
"We know of nothing lacking," said Big Tiger.
"I know what's lacking," said Good Fortune, "but it's something which can't be seen. Can you read?"
"Yes, we can read."
"Then read this." He threw a tattered yellow book into Big Tiger's lap. "You can give it back to me at Kalgan. Not another man but myself would travel 1 li today." A note tells us that a li is a Chinese mile, about 1/3 of an English mile. And he got down to start up the engine. The streets of Hui La Sien were empty. Nevertheless, Good Fortune kept on honking.
"Why is he doing that?" asked Christian.
"I don't know," said Big Tiger. "Perhaps he wants to wake the people up." As the houses by the roadside grew fewer, Good Fortune drove more slowly instead of faster, and suddenly the truck stopped. The honking ceased, but the engine continued to run.
"So, you've come at last," said a gruff voice. "You've taken your time."
"Get in," replied Good Fortune curtly. Christian and Big Tiger heard the door of the driver's cab opening, and a man climbing in. Good Fortune started up, and the truck moved on.
"That's he," whispered Big Tiger.
"Who?" asked Christian.
"The man who spat into the wash tub. I know his voice."
"Oh, that's awful," said Christian.
"It can't be helped," said Big Tiger.
Hui La Sien disappeared behind hills, and behind these the Tsingan Mountains could be seen lining the horizon. The ground mist had dispersed, and the sun rose radiant in the blue sky. They were driving along the old highway, which followed the course of the Huang Ho. Far below them, they could see the Yellow River. It looked hardly like water at all. It was so thick with sand and clay. Not a single boat was in sight. The rushing waters glittered in the sun, and wild duck rose when Good Fortune honked. The poplars, which lined the banks, were still leafless, but there were crows in the branches, cawing and flapping their wings.
"Look," said Big Tiger, "it's a good sign when the crows fly eastward, but if they fly westward, it's a bad sign."
"But these crows aren't flying at all. They're only cawing and flapping their wings," said Christian.
"Then there's danger approaching," said Big Tiger, "and there's no escaping it."
"Now I'll read the calendar." He opened the yellow book which Good Fortune had thrown into his lap. "This is the 6th day of the 2nd month," said Christian. "On the 6th day of the 2nd moon," read Big Tiger, "it is wise to refrain from undertakings. One desires to go forward with energy, but hindrances come. On that day, the spokes fall from car wheels. It is not a day for traveling. If you try to force fortune, only ill luck will result. Be content with results gained. Keep to preparatory work. Do not cut your hair. Do not marry. Perseverance brings success."
"Aha," said Christian. "That's why Good Fortune is so frightened."
"It can't be helped," said Big Tiger, shutting the book. Good Fortune was now driving slowly. The road fell steeply down to the river. The ground was soft and broken, and a cloud of yellow dust followed the car. Wherever the road left the river bank, they passed through scattered hamlets, which seemed to be inhabited solely by old women and children, who were collecting the dung of horses and asses. Behind the bamboo hedges, scanty little gardens were turning green,
A black pig stood in the middle of the road, and though Good Fortune honked furiously, it would not move, so he had to get out of its way. The drums banged together, and Christian was thrown down by the jolt. He fell on the carton containing the noodles for long life. "There goes," cried Big Tiger. "Now our bad luck is beginning." But nothing more happened, and after 2 hours driving, they arrived in Swanhua Fu. Fu signifies provincial town of first rank, but this was not very evident here. In the poorer outlying streets, there were many neglected and abandoned mud huts, and within the town itself, many of the shops were shuttered. The run-down inns were the most striking thing. The big courtyards and stables stood empty, and the signs hanging over the doors had not been painted for many a year. "That's what the coming of the railway does," said Big Tiger. "Formerly, the caravans bound for Peking stopped here, but now they no longer come." Christian, who had been curious for quite some time, now inspected the briefcase. It was divided into three compartments, which in itself was splendid. Inside were notebooks, pencils, a compass, a ruler, and... "Cheers!" cried Christian. "Here are two penknives!" "Good," said Big Tiger. "Please give me the one with the red handle." "As you wish," said Christian, taking the black-handled one for himself. Besides, there was soap, a towel, a comb, and two maps. One marked Mongolia, Southern Sheet, and the other Mongolia, Western Sheet. With the maps, they found a large magnifying glass. Christian unfolded the southern sheet and found Swanhua Fu at once. "Here's where we are now," he said. They were just then passing the yamen, in front of which a drowsy soldier was standing guard. He looked with amusement at Big Tiger and Christian as they passed. "Where are the gentlemen off to?" he shouted. "Into the mountains," Christian shouted back. At this, the soldier tapped his sword, grinned, and made a gesture of beheading someone. "What's he doing that for?" asked Christian. "He thinks you're going off to become a bandit," Big Tiger explained. "To go into the mountains means to become a bandit." "Are there bandits here?" "There are none left here, but there are plenty beyond Kalgan." "We shall soon be in Kalgan," said Christian, studying the map. Big Tiger had never had a map in his hand before, but he pretended to know all about maps and remarked airily, "I can't read the names on this one because they're in English." Christian realized he would have to show his friend how to read a map. "The top is north," he said. "The little circles are towns and villages. Blue means rivers and lakes. The thin lines are roads, and the thick ones are railways." "There's nothing at all here," said Big Tiger, pointing to one of the many white patches. "That means it's just desert," Christian explained. "You have to go into the desert to know what it looks like." "Where's that funny place where General Wu said there's gasoline?" asked Big Tiger. "You mean Olan Tore," said Christian, beginning to search. But he did not find Olan Tore. Then he got out the magnifying glass and after a long time found the Etzin Gull. "Here's the river," he cried, pleased to have found something. "It must be somewhere near the river," Big Tiger decided. "You must search more." "Let's eat a poppy cake first," suggested Christian, and he folded the maps and put them away. The truck was going slowly uphill all the time. As hardly any dust was rising, now they had a magnificent view. Swanhua Fu and the Huang Ho were long ago lost to sight. They passed through many small villages and over many hills, and suddenly the railway line became visible again. They now ascended a steep mountain, on the top of which stood a fortress-like building, but it was only a dwelling house round which the owner had built a wall, complete with loopholes and gun embrasures. From the mountaintop, they could look down on Kalgan and see the railway station with its many empty tracks on which not a single freight car stood. Good Fortune drew up on the station square. "Let's get out and have something to eat," he said. "Are you hungry?" "We are honored, sir."